This program is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hello, and welcome to this installment of CDC's AMR Exchange, Protecting Americans from Antimicrobial Resistance. I'm Dr. Dawn Sievert, and I'm the Senior Science Advisor in CDC's Antimicrobial Resistance Coordination and Strategy Unit. In this episode, I have the pleasure of being joined today by two public health experts from Connecticut, one who works as part of CDC's Healthcare-Associated Infection and Antimicrobial Resistance Program, and the other who works with CDC's Antimicrobial Resistance Laboratory Network, both through their respective roles in their state. They're going to share information about the work they do and how they work together to combat antimicrobial resistance in Connecticut. First, I'll ask each of you to please introduce yourselves and say a little about your roles.
Hi, I'm Megan Maloney. I am the Antimicrobial Resistance Coordinator with the Connecticut Department of Public Health's Healthcare-Associated Infection and Antimicrobial Resistance Program.
Hi, I am Dr. Jafar Razek, Director of the State Public Health Lab in Connecticut.
Thanks to both of you for joining me for this discussion. Again, in this session, we'll want to hear how you work together to combat AR in Connecticut. I have a number of questions for you to help guide us through the discussion, so let's get started. My first question, from each of your perspectives, can you please describe how Connecticut's HAI-AR program and the State Public Health Lab, as part of CDC's AR Lab Network, combat AR, including how you leverage your relationships with clinical facilities to accomplish these efforts?
Providing accurate, timely, and actionable test results is key to fighting antimicrobial resistance. This work is critical to identifying, containing, and controlling antimicrobial resistance in both our healthcare facilities and in our communities. When clinical laboratories design their testing services and their antimicrobial susceptibility panels, they need to be comprehensive when it comes to pathogen and specimen sources. They need to be able to provide their testing services 24/7, 365. It needs to be comprehensive and cost-effective at volume. That means that they sometimes need to make sacrifices when it comes to the depth of coverage in some areas. And they may not be as flexible when it comes to adopting new testing panels, when it comes to new antimicrobials, when it comes to adopting new interpretive guidelines as soon as they become available, when it comes to new technologies due to the costs, both in terms of expense, but also the time it takes to validate those, as well as the time for staff. But public health laboratories, we have slightly greater flexibility because to pivot and make these changes, because we can focus on the greatest public health threats. And we only focus on a subset of the organisms and isolates that we test.
So from the beginning in Connecticut, from the state lab perspective, we wanted to provide testing services that's not readily available in acute care hospitals and that needs the local community needs. And because we are dealing with highly drug-resistant pathogens, we know that we have to work and provide a unique approach to fight this drug-resistant pathogen issues. And this approach from day one was comprehensive, which meant that we needed to provide both phenotypic, that includes disc diffusion and broth microdilution testing, as well as detecting the presence for enzymes for the carbapenemases, as well as genotypic PCR-based assay that will detect markers for drug-resistant pathogens. So the rationale for this comprehensive approach is the fact that we know we are dealing with these drug-resistant pathogens that may not behave typically, which means that we needed to be able to provide multiple redundancy testing services that may play a role in checking these testing methodologies and be to verify the test results when we perform multiple testing methodologies. Also, the unique approach meant that this needed to be the testing methodology is a CLSI, using a CLSI reference methodology, and must be CLIA validated so that we are able to provide test results to healthcare providers for actions.
Excellent. Thank you both for walking us through those relationships so carefully and in so much detail. I want to follow up a little bit further on the laboratory. So I'm aware that Connecticut also has a unique advisory committee. Can you share how that was developed, a little bit about the work they do, and the relationship with your lab?
Yes. Before we even developed our testing protocols, we established an advisory panel of infectious disease physicians, infectious disease pharmacists, infection preventionists, microbiology lab directors, and related academic partners. This was done to ensure that we would have, that our testing would be clinically relevant and would meet the needs of our clinical community both at present and also over time. This multidisciplinary technical advisory group reviewed our antimicrobial panels that we would be used at our local clinical laboratories to identify antimicrobials that were not readily available in our acute care hospitals, and to identify targeted antimicrobials that treatment teams would like to include on their panel at our state public health laboratory. The committee also worked to review our draft reporting language to ensure that the summary conclusions of all the testing performed could be readily interpreted by clinical teams for use with patient management.
And one critical activity of this committee is actually the annual review of the antimicrobials included in our susceptibility panels. So the review process includes any changes in the CLSI breakpoints and any new CDC guidance, as well as any new treatment guidelines provided by professional organizations. So this committee, this advisory group, will then, based on this review process, will advise us on any need to add and or subtract antimicrobials based on the changes that happens. This committee will advise us on any changes to test methodologies that may improve efficiency and cost. This committee also reviews data generated by our antimicrobial testing program that allows us our program to adapt to changes in the epidemiology of the antimicrobial resistant patterns of these highly drug resistant pathogens. So overall, this review process or the ongoing review process, we're able to ensure that testing of the latest treatment options for resistant pathogens is readily available, not only to patients in Connecticut, but also to our healthcare providers in the state.
Excellent. Thank you. What a great collaboration. Now I would like to ask each of you to explain in a little more detail how your epidemiology and lab-focused efforts work together on a day-to-day basis.
So the collaboration and relationship between the state public health laboratory and our healthcare-associated infection antimicrobial resistance program in Connecticut is extremely important. And we know that combating antimicrobial resistance requires timely testing of clinical specimens, access to screen of patients, and investigation of risk factors that may lead to patients' infection or colonization. And finally, timely initiation of infection control and prevention measures. So to achieve this, the HAIAR program works very closely with our state public health lab and our ARLN regional laboratory at Wadsworth, as well as our colleagues at CDC.
It's really very important to us that the interactions and coordination between our programs occurs not just during response activities, though. It's really important that we truly integrate our laboratory as full partners, both in investigations and responses, but also in our day-to-day surveillance activities. We want to make sure that all contributing team members have the opportunity to really understand the importance of their day-to-day work in the overall activity of all of the efforts that we have. And so it's really important that we recognize their role and their contributions to all of the efforts that we have. It's really important that we have a commitment to recognizing our shared contribution to all of our success. And that's really vital as a part of our culture here in Connecticut.
So in order to support this culture and the relationship between our programs, the State Public Health Lab, and the healthcare associated infections, we've initiated weekly meetings, actually, that takes place almost on a weekly basis to share ideas and plans for how to proceed with fighting these highly drug resistant pathogens. Also, we immediately communicate significant findings to our healthcare associated infection program. And Megan, actually, who is the antimicrobial resistance coordinator, works physically at the State Public Health Lab one day every week so that we have timely discussions and meetings and communication that needed to take place so in person. So we've tried to enhance these types of activities in order for our program to be successful.
So now I want to move from the day-to-day efforts that you both just described to a specific instance. So can you provide an example of an outbreak in Connecticut where close collaboration between the HAI-AR EPI program and public health lab was critical to managing and stopping the outbreak?
Yeah, so in 2022, the Connecticut HAI-AR program was contacted by one of our local infectious disease physicians. And they contacted us regarding a highly drug-resistant Pseudomonas aeruginosa infection in one of their patients. Testing at the hospital had not identified a single viable treatment option for this patient. And while this particular bacteria was not at the time reportable in our state, this ID physician was familiar with our testing program for CRE and CRAB, so carbapenem-resistant Enterobacterales and carbapenem-resistant Acinetobacter baumannii. This physician was familiar with our multidisciplinary technical advisory group, and they reached out to us because of that work, and they were interested in identifying a treatment option for their patients. Testing of this clinical isolate identified an extensively drug-resistant VIM and GES-producing isolate of Pseudomonas. Our HAI-AR program quickly worked with the acute care hospital and a post-acute care facility where the patient was receiving care to identify and screen healthcare contacts. We did colonization screening with our ARLN regional laboratory at Wadsworth and identified additional cases. We did some infection control assessments on site at that post-acute care facility, but we did not identify really any substantial gaps in infection control at the facility. Work continued at our state lab, and Tafar can tell you a little bit more about what we found there.
Yeah, thank you, Megan. So whole genome sequencing, we have been doing whole genome sequencing now for many years, and we know the important role that whole genome sequencing play, not only in identifying the drug-resistant markers, but also in relatedness studies. So whole genome sequencing done on the originally clinical isolate that we received at the State Public Health Lab, and those recovered from screening patients closely matched patients in other states. With the on-site assistance of the deployed CDC response team, our Connecticut Healthcare Associated Infection Program was able to rapidly identify a widely distributed artificial tears product as the source of the outbreak. So this outbreak, not only the use of the whole genome sequencing in this outbreak, not only led to the recall of the implicated product, but also to a few important additions and changes in the Connecticut antimicrobial resistant program. One is we made carbapenem-resistant Pseudomonas aeruginosa reportable statewide in Connecticut. Every single isolate comes to the state lab, and we do, if it meets the criteria, we do comprehensive antimicrobial susceptibility testing, phenotypic, genotypic, as well as whole genome sequencing. Also, the other change that was triggered by this outbreak is we initiated an on-demand antimicrobial susceptibility testing available to our infectious diseases doctors here in the state that allows us to do testing, including on weekends and holidays, for difficult to treat infections. So our infectious disease doctors have the ability to really ask for testing to be done over a weekend on holiday. And it's been very successful from our perspective. And it's been very used very wisely.
Excellent. Thank you. And thanks again for walking us through that very serious outbreak and all the work that it took with Epi and Lab working together in Connecticut. So in considering all of the descriptions that you provided on your day-to-day work with each other and in outbreak situations, with your relationship and your collaborations, can each of you now share some lessons that you've learned from that relationship between an HAI-AR Epi and the Connecticut Public Health Lab?
I can start by saying that in Connecticut, we know and we understand that the success of our antimicrobial resistant program is really built on relationships between our state public health lab and our colleagues at the Healthcare Associated Infection Program in the state, and also about the relationship between us in the state of Connecticut Department of Public Health and our advisory, technical advisory committee within the state, as well as our regional ARLN and the CDC teams that provided invaluable technical and financial support for the success of this program. Through our relationship and partnership, we have been able to build a program focused on delivering clinically relevant testing services that can be used by our providers within the state. So we believe that the ongoing engagement with our technical advisor group and our healthcare associated infection program is really the key to help achieve the goal of combating these highly drug resistant pathogens through delivering accurate, timely, and actionable test results.
Yeah, and antimicrobial resistance really poses an important and growing threat. And collaboration across disciplines and across organizations is really essential to ensure the safe delivery of healthcare and the containment of these organisms in the community. Building a culture of engagement and ownership of the work and of the outcomes can lead to success. Our relationships between our partners, both internally with our own organizations and teams, as well as those partners that we have throughout the network, the Antimicrobial Resistance Laboratory Network, as well as our partners with the Division of Healthcare Quality and Promotion at CDC, as well as our partners with the Emerging Infections Program and with other states, can be really important and vital as we fight these organisms during responses, as well as in our everyday work throughout the year.
All right. Thank you both. That's all the time we have for today. I do want to thank you for sharing your experiences and your insights, for explaining the important efforts that happened at the state public health level, and for highlighting how important it is to foster close relationships and collaborations between the laboratory with testing and detection and epidemiology with response and control. It is clear that these coordinated efforts are vital to accurately identify and control the spread of antimicrobial resistance and to prevent the harm it brings to the people and communities of Connecticut. So thank you both again for joining me today and for sharing your expertise in the AR space and for all the important work that you do.
Thank you so much, Dawn, for having us here today. It is wonderful to share our experience here in Connecticut. We are always so proud of the work that we do, and we are very grateful to have an opportunity to share it with others.
Yeah, thank you very much for this invitation and having us share our experience in fighting these highly drug-resistant pathogens. We feel that this is an important work that we do, and we really appreciate all the help and support we get from our partners, our regional labs, as well as our colleagues at the CDC.
Also, thank you to our listeners for joining, and goodbye for now.
For the most accurate health information, visit cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO.